Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavaditamastu Ma Vidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Bhagavat Sandarbha, no, Paramatma Sandarbha, Adhyayana 3, Adhikarna 4, The Truth of the Material Creation. Page 60. If, yet, the universe, Idam, did not exist previously, Agre Asa, it could not exist at all. Right? Because the point is if it's not already there, then it's just like, let's say, you're making a pot. Right? Pot will be made out of clay. If that clay doesn't already exist, how do you get the pot? So it means the clay already has the clay for the pot. It's just, and the clay has the quality of being able to make pots. Right? But it's not manifest until it's, you know, the creation aspect is there. So that's the whole point. The effect is already in the cause originally. Absence of the augment ah in the verb abha vishat is poetic license. It would be like a flower in the sky. The Shrutis say that the universe existed previously. Sadeva somyedam agra asit. O gentle one, this universe existed previously. Chandogya Upanishad 6:2:1. Atma va yad idam agra asit. The Lord existed previously to the universe. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 1:4:1. This universe in a causal state was situated in a subtle condition, one with the Lord, and then manifests as an effect by expanding. Because it is destructible, nidhanat, it appears illusory, like mistaking shell for silver. Its existence cannot be proved. It is inferred, anumitam, to exist, vibhati, in you during creation, and not before or after. Right? So before, then you it's inferred to exist, because you can't see it, because it's just part of his energies. Then, during creation is manifest, then after creation, then you don't see it again. The reason for the real creation, rather than illusion, is given. You do not experience a taste for bliss from objects other than yourself, eka rase, since other objects cannot manifest in you. Because of your taste of bliss from yourself, how can low objects like shell be imposed as illusion on you? Right? So illusion can't be imposed on. If the Lord, because he has the highest taste, he's always living in the platform of Ananda, how can the lower taste of the material creation be imposed on him? So the whole Mayavadi idea that you have the creation, I mean, well, not creation, the illusion, right? Like that. Covers Brahman. So that, and then you get the material world, you get the jivas, you get, you know, all these different things. But how can someone have that, having that taste be covered? Right? Otherwise, then, you know, why it is there's a fight to get back to there. Right? Because you say you'll get back to that, then you'll be eternally Brahman. But by this thing, at any moment, it can be covered. So the point is, because he has that taste, there's no question of covering. You know, like let's say kids, they eat all kinds of things. They pick up the dirt, they eat it. But an adult, you can give them a piece of dirt and, you know, they'll take. No. Dadhati Sakrin manas tvayi ya atmani nitya sukhe. Na punar upasate purusha sara hara vasatan. Having turned their minds towards you, the ever blissful soul of all existence, Atmani Nitya Shuke, they no longer dedicate themselves to serving family life at home, which simply robs a man of his good qualities. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:87-35. By accepting that you transform through your inconceivable Shakti, though you are unchanging, we compare the universe to the different types of objects, vikalpa, made of matter, dravina jata, not to some imaginary substance. Since this is so, only the unintelligent think, avayanti, that the universe is a form of Brahman, ritam, a mental error, vitata mano vilasam, since the Lord can never actually be the basis of illusion. Rita means the Lord is devoid of any relationship with falsity. Right? Because sometimes they'll say, oh, it's his pastime and all that, but why would he give up a higher, the taste of Ananda for the misery of the material world? So it doesn't make sense. Because if that's there, then why are they working so hard? Because Brahman has taken this on as a pastime, so then why are you trying so hard to get back to Brahman? You know, so their ideas don't make any sense, right? Because see, is this: if Brahman can be covered, and they are as a jiva, then according to their philosophy, Brahman that's been covered, then they can become Brahman. So in the need for them to become God, they insult God by saying he can be covered by illusion. Because if I'm covered by illusion, and by removing the illusion, I don't become God, then, you know, what's the point? They want to be God. So therefore, then they have to say, God's covered by illusion, and therefore these themselves. You know, yeah. And what doesn't make sense, if you have unlimited, what matters 1/10,000th the tip of a hair? You know, why is it? So they're trying to get back and take that position of the Lord. And so that becomes the difficulty. So since for them to become the Lord, they simply have to remove the illusion. So that means Brahman has to be covered by illusion. But then they don't understand if Brahman's beyond, but then how can it be covered? So then how can they become? So if Brahman can't be covered, then they being jivas because Brahman's covered doesn't exist. So either their existence doesn't exist, or there's something different from the unlimited Brahman. They're a minute portion of Brahman. Right. So,
but now, when we want to be someone as God, we can find any type of idea of philosophy.
Yes. Yes. Yes, that's the whole thing. Is anytime you want something, you rationalize. Let's say before an endeavor, we ask a person, so what's their opinion on this, right? You know, this. Then they get attached to something, says, so what are you thinking? Well, you know, we can't be fanatic. And, you know, we're devotees, we chant, we're above the rules. And, you know, then you get all these kind of rationalizations. So that's the point is that the living entity, due to attachment, they're dependent on something, so they have to connect themselves with something. You know, and then that thing they connect themselves should give them happiness. So they're thinking by connecting with the material energy, they'll be happy. But it's never proven to be such. I mean, so when you hear about someone else and how they're situated, what activities they're doing, what qualities are there, what results they're getting, then we infer that they must be happy. And we want that. But when we're in that position, we're not becoming happy. But ourselves in that position, others seeing and hearing of that, they want that. So in this way, then the illusion goes on. So, the intention of the proponents of Satkaryavad is now explained. The pot produced by clay, along with a potter, either exists or does not exist in a subtle state. If it exists, it manifests from its subtle state. If it does not exist, how can it be produced? since it is impossible for it to have a relationship with the activities of the potter. Right? It means if you have something that doesn't exist, how can it interact with the potter and become a pot? Like that, yeah. Like holding a flower in the sky, such things are illusory. Therefore, the pot is not manifest. But the pot also does not absolutely not exist. It is situated in an unmanifested state as a lump of clay. Just as the pot is produced by adding activities of the potter to produce it, so the universe is produced by addition of activities of your natural shakti situated in you. Persons who claim to explain the Vedanta but have opposite ideas contradict Vedanta. Mind is a result of the elements. That this is well known. It is contrary to logic to say the world is a mental state, right? Because the mental state is coming from matter. Mm-hmm. So then how would matter produce matter? Because they say it's an illusion, so an illusion, it doesn't exist. How does it produce now itself with the mind, which is a part of the matter, right? Because here we see the pot. The potter is separate from the clay. You have the clay, then a potter acts, then you get a pot. But they're saying there is no connection of the pot with the clay, and there's no connection of the pot with the potter. The pot just manifests by it making itself. You know, because the mind, which is a part of matter, is then making it. But that's the thing about these things, because it's presented in a somewhat logical way. It seems to make sense, because we want to think, yes, with my mind I can understand everything, I can be anything, I can be the controller and enjoyer. So therefore, even though these points are not actually valid, we're willing to accept them. Does that make sense? You know, it's like the illusion, it's like Karna. He's defeated every time by Arjuna, at Virat twice in one day. Literally, twice in one day. You know, and Duryodhana twice. And still, they'll talk as though Arjuna is nothing, we can defeat him, look at all of us here, we can all do this. And so every time. That's illusion.
So Maharaj, illusion works mainly with the mind.
Yes, because it accepts and rejects.
Yes.
Means if you use the intelligence, then you can see the illusion.
Yes.
But if the mind controls the intelligence, then you'll just see how the illusion fits into your life. Yes. You know, how it accommodates, how to make the best use out of the illusory situation. So it's only when you use intelligence. So that's the thing. The mind is coming from goodness, the intelligence from passion, and the false ego from ignorance. But the key here is the intelligence, because it's the closest thing to the super soul. Right? Because with intelligence, consciousness means you're aware. Intelligence is the ability to be applied through the senses, you can be aware of things. Mm-hmm. So actually the intelligence is the central feature here in upliftment. Even though, in one sense, by the modes, the mind is superior, because it has to accept, because it's superior, because it will accept, not the intelligence. But when we're using intelligence, when the mind accepts, we accept that the intelligence is the thing to use, that will bring us closer to the Lord. But if we use just the mind, you know, what is what I feel like, or the false ego, no, we're doing so much fabulous stuff, and like that. These two, it won't bring you near to the Lord. They're away from it. It's in the middle. The intelligence goes up. Then you have these two. Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's why it said, illusion is that which fools the mind, and delusion or delusion is when that becomes solidified and it becomes the truth for you. So delusion is when the intelligence, we call the intelligence is deluded.
Okay, yes.
That's when like intelligence comes under the subordination of mind.
Mm. Makes sense? Nice. You heard?
Nice.
Yeah. illusion and delusion. It is impossible to make mind an ahankara from mind, since mind cannot be the cause and the effect. This fault applies to atheistic philosophies also. This is criticized in Padma Purana. So they're all going to say it's all coming from this. But, yeah. Shutayas smritayas chaiva yuktayas cheshvaram param varanti tad virudham yo vade tasman na chadhamaha. The Shruti, Smritis, and Vedanta speak of the Supreme Lord. There is no one lower than a person who speaks contrary to this. Right, so that's the point of Naradhamma. See, a mudha is just unaware. Like a donkey, he's just going about doing his work, getting his money, you know, doing his family activities, and that's all there is in life, trying to improve the family situation by working hard like a donkey, and that's all he does. So he's a mudha. So in that way, he's you can say he's the lowest on the totem pole, right? But the next one up, the Naradhamma, is actually lower, because then he has philosophies and he speaks contrary to the Veda. So he's actually worse. So, does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the one has to be careful. Asatyam apratishtam te jagad ahur anishvaram. Aparaspara sambhutam kim anyat kama haitukam. They say the world is false, without a foundation, and without a creator. It arises by the innate properties of matter. It arises by lust alone. Bhagavad Gita 16:8. Right? So Krishna mentioned, this is how people will think. The atheists are described in the Gita. The world is fault, asatyam, and cannot be designated, apratishtam, since it is indescribable, being both existent and non-existent. The conception of God is fault, anishvaram, since the world arises from continuous, beginningless ignorance. Jagat aparaspara sambhuta. Aparaspara means continuous action. It arises from desire alone, like a dream. Verse 16:8 shows the faulty mentality of such persons, and verse 16:9 criticizes their goal. They think the universe is created by Jiva's ignorance, a covering on the greatness of Brahman. It is said, Ananyatvam, from the Brahman arises the world which is non-different from it. Brahma Sutra 2.1.15. The commentary of Shankara says, quote, the Shrutis and Smritis say that Prakriti is the Maya Shakti of the omniscient Ishvara. Names and forms composed of Vidya and Avidya, appearing as if the Lord himself acts as a seed of the material world, and are indescribable as both truth and illusion, existent and non-existent. This, however, contradicts the words of the Lord. Footnote 9. Shankara says that names and forms are neither real nor unreal, being vyavaharika. Bhagavatam says that names and forms are real, arising from the Shakti of the Lord. So they're real. So that's why in some of the schools they emphasize the non-real part. Some emphasize the real part, but it's not completely real. Just like the ones they say it's not real, they still deal with it as if it still has some reality. It's just a matter of their emphasis. Vidya vidye mama tanu vidhi. Know that vidya and avidya are my shakti. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.11.3. Thus the above was explained according to Mayavad. Shiva speaks to Parvati about the contrary philosophies in Padma Purana. Mayavad scripture called covered Buddhism is spoken by me in the form of a Brahmin in Kali Yuga. I will speak about the inferior Brahman without qualities in order to bewilder the whole world in Kali Yuga. I will speak Mayavada, which is not authorized by the Vedas, in commenting on the great scripture called Vedanta to destroy the world. It is also said in Padma Purana that by the order of the Lord, this philosophy was created to bewilder the demons. In Shiva Purana, it is said, at the end of Dwapara Yuga, turn the people against me by imaginary scriptures produced by your own expansion among men. The Lord spoke thus, the above verse. Right, so it's because people, there are jivas who want to have this mentality and taste this. Therefore, then Krishna arranges it. So in the Kali Yuga, then the Mayavada philosophy comes up. Like you see in the other ages, you'll have the Brahmavada, they just don't take it far enough.
Yes.
You know, or they'll just take it up to the material energy.
Yes.
Right? So, but here you see is that, no, they come in and actually oppose the scriptures and that. Those quote scriptures, but use it, misquote it. So that's always the most difficult. Is that if somebody's just speaking on their own, that's one thing. But if they say that, use the same sources as you're using, and then misquote them, that's more of a difficulty. So that's what Shankaracharya is doing. In Nisinga Purana, Yama speaks. The words of Patanjali, Kanada, Shankara, Buddha, Shankya, and Gotama, though well composed as systems of philosophy for this world, are not successful since they do not prescribe the worship of the Lord. All their philosophical works are designated as vada, or opinions, not scriptures of infallible mantras, mantra granta. They cannot be viewed in any other way. The views of the author of Vedanta Sutras in statements like Anandamayo Bhyasat are completely spoiled by their words. What is praiseworthy in their works is the small portion which accepts the existence of the Lord. The extreme atheistic parts should be rejected. So we see is that sometimes then Shankara will be quoted when he says that Narayano Paravyaktat, he was there before the creation. So those parts that are theistic, those are the parts that are accepted. Right? And those parts that you can mechanically, that mechanics that they point out that are useful in the theistic understanding, then that is also kept. But everything else is rejected.
But when there is atheism is developing, or inside ourselves, it means it is because of the Mayavada. It is because of the Mayavada philosophy that we become atheists.
Is it because of the Mayavada philosophy? No, Mayavada philosophy is just a philosophy that allows us to rationalize our atheism. Right? Because jivas come to the material world because of they're not seeing things in the context of the Lord.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So they're already technically atheists.
Yes. Yes.
But within that, then some are willing to follow the Shastras, you know, follow the laws of God, though they may attribute them to God or not.
Yes.
And so they're called pious. And then there's those who don't attribute the laws to God. They just think they're inherent on their own. They come from the material nature. Then that's atheistic. And then there'll be those who don't even accept the laws. They just accept the mind. You know, whatever they feel and whatever they think. You know, because in there you have, in the pranamaya you have, it means in the lower two you have the senses, you have ethics, you have justice, and you have morality. I mean, justice and economics. Right? So ethics, morality go together. So then there are those who, looking at the artha aspect, then they have to be actually follow some, the laws to some degree, at least enough to make profit. But and if you want to properly apply justice, you also have to do that. And then morality, it should, you know, actually be viewable that it works. Right? The senses also, if you don't apply it according to what's recommended, it won't work. But the point is you can think you're applying yourself in justice, morality, and sense gratification without it actually being according to the laws. And you can be not getting any of them, but because you feel like you are, or should be, or it's right, or it's good, you know, your own sense of justice, then you can be in total illusion, or illusion within the illusion. But those who, but to make money or to have profit, you, the profit will only come when you follow the laws of God. You know, so they don't necessarily like to call it that. They'll say laws of nature or inherent laws or natural, or, you know, whatever they like to call it, but it's the same thing. So that's why you'll generally see is that those who are practical and profitable in the world, they'll tend more towards having a structure that you have to follow a system. And those who are not necessarily practical, they'll look at it from their own sense of justice, morality, and sense gratification, what's appropriate. And then they will, you know, go on in that way. But if you look at it over time, you know, according to the facts, they don't do a good job. So it naturally has to switch back, because how long can you go on with no money or facilities? You know, does that make sense? So that's why you generally see is that who you know, in the, you know, especially in this, when we're working in the contemporary environment, the ones who control are the ones who are able to generate the money. Right? It's not the ones who talk. It's the ones who can generate the money. And therefore use the money in a practical way to affect whatever change it is they're looking for. Right? So despite whatever everybody else is saying in this, it just makes it, it just changes the field in which to make money. You know what I'm saying? It's like before, is masks are being made, and they're used in hospitals, you know, by the doctors and nurses there. And otherwise, basically no one's using them except for a few Japanese tourists, right? Like that. And so then, but now you have the environment adjust, and then those who understand how to make profit, now they make masks. You know, or whatever medicine's going on, but now coronavirus, now they'll focus on that and make money off of that. So they'll do, others will be talking whatever they like to talk. But it doesn't actually affect what's going on in the way of that it actually generates anything. Those that know how to work with the laws, they take advantage of those individuals. Does that make sense? You know, like we were saying about not identifying masculine and feminine. So then, you know, you can come out with a whole new line of clothes that is androgynous. You know, it's not neither, you know. And so this could become very popular. You don't have that as of now. You have men's clothes, women's clothes. A few things that are you know, can be either way, like, you know, like a hat or a, you know, so a few things, some socks or stuff like that. But people will choose things and in this way put it together because they're mixing the two. But that's because an individual, you know, likes that. Does that make sense? You know, like that. But when you, if it comes prominent, then somebody will figure it out. We can have a line of clothes that is already like this. Does that make sense? No?
The Japanese one.
Okay. Yeah, the unical. Okay. You know, so like that, then it's just that becomes more. So all it is those who are practical and follow the laws of God, either, appreciating that they're God's laws or not, they're the ones that make profit, make things work. Everybody else can therefore function in that environment and then say their bit. And so you're making profit in one way. If that doesn't work, then it goes another way. You know, it's like you have the cigarettes, you know, and then people go, oh, this is bad for you. And then they make filter cigarettes. You know, so they just keep adjusting to try to keep up with the, you know, and then that's not going now. Okay, then they're vaping.
Yes.
You know, so they'll make money. It's just that all it is these things just put an obstacle that you have to go around. You know, but it's like water. It just goes around.
New thing costs more than the old one.
Yeah, and the new one costs more. You know, it's like when I was a kid, then a pure cotton shirt, and then you have a, you know, acrylic or rayon or whatever was what they were made out of. The rayon one costs more. The cotton was common. Everybody has a cotton shirt. Now, you're still wearing cotton shirts? No, they have the rayon shirt because you don't have to iron. You don't have to do this. It has a little more shine. It has, you know, all these kind of things. And so then that becomes the rage, and everything goes. But with time, then people start to see the value of the original stuff. So then, you know, it comes back in, you know, the cotton and this and that. But now pure cotton costs more than the other. You know, same with organic food. Before it was, when I was a kid, that the organic was the cheaper one, and the one grown with chemicals was the more expensive. Because it was bigger, no blemishes, nice color, everything like that. Well, the organic was smaller, had a few bumps on it, or this or that, funny shape, you know. So like that, and then they figure it out. So that's a very good point. It comes back, but now it costs more. You know, so that's the way it is. Hare Krishna.
All right. So looks like the Mayavada is atheism suited for gullible persons.
Yes, but people want to be gullible.
But especially in this age, like they are.
Yeah, in this age, because they want to be cheated, because they want to have all sense gratification, all control, and be God. Who wouldn't want it? You can have your sense gratification, control, and not be God. You know, or you know, like that. You know, it's just like. So that's why the philosophy itself is very good. So even though the Mayavad practice is not there, but still the philosophy will be there. Because anything can take shelter in Mayavad. Any bogus philosophy, anybody comes up with anything can take shelter in Mayavad. Because you're not following God's laws. Therefore, whatever I make up, it becomes bona fide because it doesn't have to follow any laws. You know, and here they're saying it comes from the mind. Therefore, those who are more sentimental, it comes from the mind. Those who are more logical, then, you know, they follow the logic. You know what I'm saying? You know, some who want to have some tradition that goes back to the material energy. Those who don't, then it doesn't matter because it's all illusion. You know, so anything mundane can take shelter of the Mayavad philosophy. So that's why one has to be careful is because we're thinking, you know, they're dressed as a, you know, Indian guy, you know, dressed as some kind of religious person like that. That's the Mayavadi. But actually, no, it's anything that's not according to the Veda and not according to the conclusion is technically the Mayavadi. It may have its forms as these six schools. But the point is that they all kind of take shelter because from this, then Shankara can defeat. We don't have what's his name. Jaimini.
Jaimini is not mentioned because he does worship and everything is accepted. Only problem is they say it's permanent.
Yeah. So then all these others can take shelter because each one, the lower one, can be defeated by the next one up. Like, you know, Gotama's then Kanada. You know? Isn't it?
Kannada is supposed to come from.
Kannada is Gautama.
Kannada is Vaisheshika.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Vaisheshika can defeat Nyaya. Yeah. Right? And then Shankya can defeat those two. Patanjali can defeat that. Shankar defeat them all, you know. And then, oh, he's putting Buddha. You know, so like that, then it just goes up. So Shankara becomes the level that can bewilder anybody who wants to remain an atheist. Like that. If one's interested in the devotional philosophy, then one can move forward. One therefore gives up.
Yes.
So like in past ages, the atheists, they were like outright. They didn't need this kind of rationalizing. They just hated Vishnu, you know, and they just took it upon him like that.
Yeah, yeah. That's very obvious.
So it means they were, I think, looked like they were more intelligent. They didn't need to go around like...
Yeah, less political, more direct.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ravana and Hiranyakashipu were quite direct.
Yeah.
Shishupal also, very direct. Yeah, so you see, Pandrika, yeah, they're all quite direct. Like that. But in this age, no, because that's what it's saying, is that within the individual, they can have that tendency towards the non-theistic, and they can have the tendency towards that theistic. So that's why then you have to, by association, then get rid of the non-theistic.
Also, like, you know, currently in the modern world, they look back to the history. When they consider Indian history, at max they go to 500 BC, which they consider is about Buddha's appearance. What happened before? Like, nobody identifies with it. So in one sense, the Kali Yuga, the biggest mistake which people were doing at the time was making Karmakanda as the main thing, mm-hmm. devotional service. Then the purpose of Buddha's appearance is to remove that identity. And then after Buddha, then Shankaracharya came to add the permanence in it and then move on. So, like, the whole thing is, because in Kali Yuga, people as a society identified more with the wrong thing. Because mm-hmm. in the previous ages...
Oh, that's why they don't start with Karmakanda.
Yeah.
Okay.
In the previous ages, they were more intelligent.
Okay, so you only start with Buddha. And even that, you move up a little bit. Interesting. Yeah.
Right, recently when I was reading the history something, when I was studying,
yeah.
All it goes back to Buddha. Before that they called the Vedic period, which was 1500 BC to 500 BC. Before that it didn't exist because the Westerners would get disappointed.
Yes, yes. They wouldn't want to disappoint the Westerners.
So then 500 BC to 500 AD, something around, is the period of Buddha, and then which is called post-Vedic period also. That the other people fighting with the Buddhists.
Mm.
The 500 to 1500 is after 1000 or 1000 to 1500 is after the Buddha's period. That's how they identify the history.
Yeah. There's a authoritative statement on this viewpoint, you know, that supports the viewpoint. In Bengali it's called Naikaj Koibaj. No? When you have nothing to do, you pop rice. You know, it makes lots of noise, but there's no substance. Yeah.
Fused rice. Prabhupada called fused rice.
Fused rice, yeah. Yeah.
Koi.
Koi
means that cow, with husk.
Yeah, you pop it with the husk, so it blows up more. It's super light. You know, you touch it, it just, you know, it's just... Thus, the conclusion is that the independent Lord is the creator of everything. The jiva, by his ignorance or his own powers, is not the creator. This is mentioned by Bhadarayana in many places. Samgya Murti Kliriptis Tu Tri Vrit Kurvati Upadeshat. The Lord mixes the names and forms after making the elements threefold. Because that is the direct statement. Brahma Sutra 2.4.20. Tanmano Srijata Mana Prajapatim. The Lord created the mind, and the mind created Prajapati. Mind here means Aniruddha, the presiding deity of all the minds. This is similar to Bahu Shyam Prajayeta, Prajayeya. May I become many and increase progeny. Chandogya Upanishad 6.2.3. Or the Lord made a decision, and his decision created Prajapati. The Supreme Lord, possessor of inconceivable Shakti by his nature, should not produce insignificant illusions, since he is the master of all Chintamanis, the Chintamani personified. He thus has nothing to do with producing fake gold. Right? So the material world's real, because otherwise why would he deal with that? If he is the original source, I mean, he's the supreme real thing, why would he be making something unreal? You know, what has he got to do with that? Why would he do that? You know? Does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah, you don't see Rolls Royce producing C2s. You know? The little dinky, they made them before, a long time ago, Citroën. They made this little dinky car, smaller than a VW Bug. You know, it's basically just like metal. It's square, round, it's like that. Very interesting car, though. But Rolls Royce doesn't make that. You know, you could say, why don't you make it for fun? They're not going to do it for fun. For fun, they'll make an SUV or something, you know. You know, so that's the thing. You're not going to work outside. What would be the point? Why would the Lord make an illusory world that doesn't exist? Madhava quotes the following Shruti. Atainam ahu satya karameti satyam ye vedam vishvam asriya jata. They call the Lord true action. This Lord created this true world. As well, it is said, satya vratam satya param tri satyam satyasya yonim nihitam cha satye satyasya satyam rita satya netram satya makam tva sharanam prapannaha. O Lord, you are true to your promise. Truth incarnate, pervading all aspects of time with truth. Before the creation, during its existence, and after its destruction. You are the revealer of true words and vision. We surrender to you the embodiment of truth. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.2.26. You are true to your vow, satya vratam. True to surrender, satya param. True in creation, maintenance, and destruction. Tri satyam, the real cause of the real universe, satya yonim. You are situated as antaryami within the true universe. You are the real cause of reality, satyasya satyam. You inspire true words and vision, orita satya netram. Your form is true, satyatmakam. This is the meaning of the phrases. The first three phrases and satyasya yonim, which are followed by nihitam cha satye, can be given another meaning out of context only with difficulty. Using incompatible argument, taking only what they like and rejecting everything else, like accepting the young half and rejecting the old half of a woman. It is proper that the Lord speaks truthfully what he had promised. Otherwise, the natural meaning and order would be broken when Brahma uttered the prayers. Therefore, the universe is real. The Shruti spoke thus. Shruti spoke thus to the Lord. Riti. The author next reasons that even the elements such as earth are not destroyed during absolute destruction, because they are composed of Paramatma's natural Shaktis. Anucheda 72. The phrase, Nayad Idam Agra Asa, the Lord did not exist previously, Srimad Bhagavatam 10.87.37, should be understood to mean that the material world remains in a dormant state during pralaya, according to Satkaryavad. When absolute destruction takes place with liberation for the jiva, there's no destruction of the elements like earth as well. Footnote 10. The jiva is released from accepting material bodies, gross and subtle, forever in Adyantika Pralaya. But matter itself is not absolutely destroyed. It is not proper that the elements composed of Paramatma's natural shaktis should be absolutely destroyed when a jiva attains realization. When Parikkhita and others attain liberation, one hears that the places made of portions of gross elements like earth in which the bodies were situated remained. The subtle elements such as buddhi, portions of Hiranyagarbha, the subtle body, will also remain. Absolute destruction, Adyantikalaya, simply means that a jiva gives up his adhyasa, or covering. When a pot is broken, the portion of sky within the pot becomes a sky element, as before. In the same way, when the gross and subtle bodies die, the living entity becomes Brahman, Srimad Bhagavatam 12.5.5. Right, so the living entity comes to the transcendental platform, but the gross and subtle bodies remain within the material energy. So they're not destroyed.
Right? Not destroyed means they remain in their... They go back into their original elements? Or?
Yes, it means that they're there. It means that the body that's there, it will go back into the earth and become the different things. The mind will go back into wherever it is. You know, be distributed, you know, like when, how you say?
Recycled.
Recycled, yes, recycled. Yes, it'll be recycled. You know, so it's good to know, you know, since I say recyclable.
It's like secondhand bodies.
Yeah, secondhand, you know, secondhand subtle bodies.
Cheap and best.
Cheap
and best.
Cheap and best, yes. So you can see is that every statement of the Veda, if you understand the philosophy, you can see it in the context properly within Vaishnava Vedanta. Otherwise, it'll seem like sometimes these texts is the same thing that the Mayavadis will say. But the point is when you break the pot and the sky goes back, the pot remains. If it's all illusion, then the pot would disappear, but the pots, the elements of the pot are still there. You know? So that's the thing is, they'll take it and use it in their own way. But it's actually meant to show that when the living entity goes on, the Lord Shaktis remain. Because otherwise, if we leave and then it's all destroyed, then that means then who's the controller of it? Where does it come from? Because they'll say it comes from mind. So when you give that all up, then it goes back. You know, it doesn't exist. But what Satkaryavad means it comes from the Lord. The Lord is his energies. Yes.
This becomes the difficulty with Vyavaharika state of existence. They say it simultaneously exists and doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
But then who defines when it exists, when it doesn't exist?
Yeah.
So in this way, there's a lot of space for speculation. You can actually play with it.
Yeah, you can do whatever you like. That's the whole thing about it, is Shankara... Because he came to bewilder. He's not... So, you just give enough that people can think. And then once they start thinking, then they'll come up with all their own weirdo stuff. You know, it's just like his philosophy. Then you see it's become three different main schools. And those have so many sub-branches. And each will say, no, this is Shankara's philosophy. Right? But he said it exists and it doesn't exist. But two schools say it doesn't exist. One school says it basically exists. So how can they say? It's like with the Shris, water to lie, tend to lie. They'll say, this is Shri, you know, the philosophy. But no, both of them would have been there. Both of them would have been spoken by Ramanuja. Depending upon the situation, he'd be emphasizing one or the other. You know what I'm saying? You know, if it's theirs, the oneness of the Lord, because Lakshmi is his Swarup Shakti, so they're non-different. She's on the transcendental platform. But at the same time, she's the supreme servant. So in that way, if you're using the term Jiva to mean servant, because that's also a meaning, then she's the supreme Jiva. You know what I'm saying? It depends on which one you're bringing out. So in other words, she's non-different from the Lord, but to approach the Lord, you still approach through Lakshmi. And how do you approach through Lakshmi? You follow, assist her in her service. So you see, it's technically that the two go together. But it's only in Chinta Veda Veda Tattva that it nicely goes together. So there, then, they'll bring out one aspect or another aspect, but they're not putting it together. And so now it's become two schools, you know, that have nothing to do with each other. Yes?
Also, previously we were reading that the Veda says that the Brahman is an absolute light.
Mm.
So if it is an absolute light, what is the position of the shade and of the reflection? So two can't actually exist. If Brahman is an absolute light, the two theories fall apart immediately, but there's no reflection in an absolute light, and there's no shadow in an absolute light.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. I mean, so you're saying the Mayavad things fall apart.
Yeah. So then the only one remains is the Ekajivad, which is...
But even there, if is light, how that shining on that jiva, there would be illumination. Because where did the jiva come from? You know, because that still it goes back to the same, to the two you mentioned before. But, it's just different ways to try to claw onto, you know, that you're God and so on.
But Ekajivavad, they themselves don't agree with it. They only propose it when other theories like are countered and they fail.
Oh, then they bring it up just to. Just like we saw that sometimes they go to Buddhism. They quote Buddhism to establish it. Even though the impersonalists are dead set against Buddhism. You know, that's their kind of like, you know, as far as an activity, you know, their reason to exist is to defeat Buddhism. But they'll quote Buddhism just to, when you defeat all their philosophy. Okay, so they only bring it up that way. That's interesting. So it's part of one of the three schools.
Yeah, he was following, I think, one of the schools.
Okay.
Maybe the reflection was
the last. Okay, so still.
Yeah. He tried to kind of synthesize all the three and then bring it up, but it didn't work. So he didn't gain that much prominence.
Okay, so that one didn't gain much prominence. Okay, so later... The one about the Ekajivavad.
The 15th century.
15th. So he tried to pull all the three schools together, but it seems none of the schools really appreciated it, so it didn't get anywhere.
So all the three schools identify with their original disciples of Shankara.
Yeah, it's just like, what do you call it? Guru Nanak tried to bring together the Islam and the Hinduism, but neither school really liked them. So. But that he accepts the Veda, then he'll be part of this side. But he tries to make it as there's, you know, no form, no deities, no like that. That'll make it comfortable for the others. So that's why you don't do that. You don't try to adjust because the locals will be more happy with it because it never works out.
Finally, they had to fight for their own existence.
Yeah. Okay. Quote, I am that Brahman, the supreme state of being. Brahman is I, the supreme position. Footnote 11. The esoteric meaning is, I am the worshipper of the Lord. I am a conscious particle of the Lord. I belong to the Lord. Considering this and considering the lotus feet of the Lord, surrender to the Lord. You will not see Takshika, your body or the universe, separate from the Lord because of fainting with bliss on seeing Krishna. Considering this, place yourself in the Brahman devoid of upadis. You will not see Takshika biting your foot with fire and poison and licking it with his tongue. You will not see your body or the universe to be separate from Brahman. Srimad Bhagavatam 12, 5, 11 through 12. In verses such as this, the relation with upadis is rejected. The falsity of the world is not advocated. Right? So what he's pointing out is that the Shastras, they may talk about rejecting the upadis, right? That giving up that material vision and all that, but they don't say the material world's unreal. So the Mayavadis will reject the upadis based on the world's not real. Because then the problem is, if the world's real, why would you give up the upadis? Right? But here it's that material world's real, but being a transformation of the Lord Shakti, it's not representing the original position of the Lord, the jiva in service to the Lord. And so that ananda, that's not that eternal platform of bliss and knowledge is not available. So therefore it becomes available by giving up the material upadis. You know, it means you have the aspect of, you have the upadi, you engage it in the Lord's service. You come to the point you don't identify with the upadi, but because that's the particular body, gross and subtle body you have, therefore you engage it in the Lord's service. But at some point, then depending on what's there, then that can just be, you don't even need to deal with it. So in this case, for him, you know, he doesn't need to deal with it. And so then Maharaj Parikit just leaves it all. Right, he's no longer a king, he's no longer this or that. You know, he just is the Lord's servant. And so giving up all the upadis, then he just keeps the transcendental identity and then goes to the transcendental platform. Right? But you see before, as a devotee, then he was using those so-called upadis to serve the Lord. Because they weren't upadis for him. They were just the medium that you worked through. You know, it's just being practical. That's the thing, is that let us say you're going to the kitchen, you want something quick, so what's there, you'll figure out and do something with. That's practical. You know? So to say is, no, it's actually something else. The potatoes are actually cabbage, so therefore then you can make a cabbage preparation. It won't work. No.
Also, like Prabhu mentioned, historically, Mayavadis, they address mainly the Mimamsakas and Buddhists. Mm-hmm. And the Vaishnavas came then later, so they address, you know, philosophy of Shankara.
Yes.
So if historically it wouldn't happen like that, their theory would probably develop differently because their opposition would be Vaishnava. Mm. Obviously, Nimbarka was there before, but he doesn't seem to be
so
very prominent,
yes,
at the time.
Yeah.
So that's why they come again and again to the same point, because mainly Mimamsakas, because their, you know, position in the world, that the world is real and their results are eternal. Mm-hmm. His karma is eternal. Mm. So they debate, you know, mainly with them and Buddhists,
yeah,
but not as much.
Yes. Yes. But it's just, but they don't need to go against the Shastra. You can point out the point that's a temporary.
Yeah.
You know, because that's obvious. That you can see with logic, everything's temporary. You know. And so, and then what's beyond that, then the soul and all that, so therefore you have to go beyond. So putting that emphasis on the jnana, you know, so knowledge and renunciation, that you could do. But then they're putting it all the way to, it just doesn't exist. So it's there to bewilder. Because people want to be bewildered. Yes.
It's actually, if it is the history, Vishnu song was first came, and then in that Shuddha Advaita, pure Muni. So, because he came first, so it is like, we can see already Vaishnavism there, and everybody is following. There is no problem with being falsity of the Monism. Mm-hmm. So that's what Shankara has brought. That is just to bewilder the Buddhism and other persons, not the Vaishnava.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
But it's an interesting thing, Maharaj, like just like for small children, they're enjoying and then they go crazy in their enjoyment. Then you keep them separate. Like in Gurukul, they sit at one place. And then that's like
tell them to go wash the bowl.
And then next after that, okay, now you come back. Then it's like, you know, they are given the controllership and then slowly they become sane. Mm. Then you can start speaking, like, but first you need to keep them off.
Yeah, get distracted. But it also those who can be distracted, who want to be distracted. In verses such as this, the relation with Upadis is rejected. The falsity of the world is not advocated. Intelligence and other factors should be explained. The intelligence and senses are considered Paramatma's natural shaktis. Because they take shelter of Paramatma, are revealed by him and cannot be separated from him. Budindriyarta rupena jnanam pati tad ashrayam drishya tvad vyatire kabhyam adyan tavad avastu yat. Brahman manifests in the forms of intelligence, the senses, and the objects of sense perception. Since it is their ultimate basis, reveals them, and is essential for their existence. Whatever has a beginning and an end is insubstantial because of being the opposite. Srimad Bhagavatam 12.4.23. Right, so, in other words, you have the material energy. Okay? So, within material energy, things have a beginning and have an end. But the aspect of the material energy being an eternal, energy of the Lord, that's the part that's have substance.
Yes, yes.
That's the part that you keep. You know, so that's the real part. And the part that it's created and it's destroyed, that's what's insubstantial. So then any upadis based on that, those then are not of value. Right? Does that make sense? Right? Because then that's where the problem comes. So what's happening here is they're throwing both out, baby and bathwater. Right, because both are a problem. Right, you know, baby, you have to bathe, and once you bathe the baby, what do you do with the bath water? So therefore, you get rid of both, and you solve your problem. Right, so that's the difficulty: is that they're not seeing is that the energy of the Lord is eternal, but its manifestations are temporary. So therefore, the temporary manifestations, those are what are insubstantial. Why? Because the soul is eternal. God's eternal. The energies are eternal. Our relationship with God and the energies are eternal. So therefore, to identify with and function in the capacity of the upadis of creation and destruction, those then, that doesn't have any value for the living entity. Yeah?
So in this case, the solution is worse than the problem itself.
Meaning?
You gave that example that the baby and the water.
Yeah.
So they both just
go. Yeah. Yeah, and then you have nothing.
Yeah. and then you have, you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a, it's a, yes. Knowledge or Paramatma manifests as the internal and external senses. He is non-different from them since he is their shelter. Right? So then knowledge you see then through the intelligence, because that's how the internal and external senses work. The senses work through intelligence. Right? But we say the mind is a controller of the senses because ultimately what the senses do means, in other words, information comes in from the senses. But that information coming in is being analyzed by the intelligence. That's why you can perceive what's going on, right? Because the senses are bringing in information that has to be have been analyzed to notice that it's there, right? But then the mind then will process that using the intelligence of the false ego, and the particular what do you call it? Upadis that we have, you know, means the samskars that we have. Then those samskars with the upadis and the analyzation of the intelligence, then the mind will pick something, and then the senses will be instructed to act. But still, the technically how they act, that's still with intelligence. The mind doesn't make the things do, the intelligence shows. You know, but the mind keeps choosing. So therefore, because it's the final, you could say in this, then you can say the mind is controlling the senses. So you control the mind, then the senses are controlled. Because the mechanics of them is that's being done by intelligence. So when now the mind becomes controlled by intelligence, then you'll do intelligent things with the senses. Otherwise, you'll just do things that you want to do with the senses. So when the mind wants to do things that are intelligent, that's the mind being controlled by the intelligence. You know, so still it's the mind doing the decision making. Is that? Yes, yeah, so then, that therefore Paramatma, so he is knowledge, so he's manifesting in this way, you know, through his energies. He is not different from them since he's their shelter. Neuter gender is poetic license. Right? So, using neuter, it's the Lord, goes back to him. Thus, there is also great difference, as there is difference between a king and a servant. Other reasons are given. He is the revealer of the senses, drishatva, and they cannot exist without Paramatma. Avya tireka. Intelligence and the senses are the Lord in the sense that they are composed of the natural Shakti of Paramatma. Just as fire spreads light, but it's not different from the light. Eka desha stitasyagner jochna vishtarini yata. So fire is spreading light, but fire is not different from the light. Right, the light is not separate from the fire, but the light is not fire. So that's the point. Is we're an energy of the Lord. We're not different from the Lord, but we're not the Lord. Does that make sense? You know, just as like you know that point there is that the light is coming from the fire. It's produced by the fire. Shelter is on the fire. No fire, no light. So it's not different. But at the same time, you can't say the light is the fire. Does that make sense? You know, so I mean, so yeah, it means because the only example, yeah, even that's contested. But I mean, if the light shines on Dracula, then he'll burst into flames and become a pile of ashes. But the point is that so only in that case, then you can say light is fire. But then the problem comes is they're not quite sure if they can prove his existence. You know, these kind of things. So, in other words, we don't have any example. Illusions which have a beginning and end, such as mistaking shell for silver, lack non-difference from their source. Adyan tatvat avastu yat. The illusion of silver can never be identical with the shell, since the shell does not act as the illusory silver's cause and shelter. right? The shell is not the shelter of the illusory silver. You understand? Silver is the shelter. Because silver is silver and something else looks like silver. Does that make sense? So it's not the shell. So that's the thing. The Mayavadis are trying to say the shell is the shelter. But actually silver is the shelter. Because without silver, there's no illusion.
Yes.
It's not that the shell creates the illusion and then there's silver.
Yes.
Yes.
And we're coming back to the same point that illusion is a shelter of illusion, but actually reality is the shelter of illusion.
Yes,
it can't be, it can't be illusion is the shelter of illusion.
No.
Otherwise, there's no basis for anything.
Yes, no basis. Yes. Yeah. The silver is not different from the shell. If the world which is illusion arises from Brahman, by knowing Brahman one cannot know the illusion, since the two are non-different. This contradicts the promise that by knowing Brahman all things become known. This concept of illusion arising from Brahman is included in Asat Karyavad. The effect is not inherent in the Kaj. Right? So they have Asat Karyavad. So they use Asat Karyavad. So that the illusion is coming from itself. Because they want to separate it from Brahman. You know, but at the same time, as if you know Brahman, it's an illusion. But if Brahman is the source, then if you, how will you know the Lord, right?
So, The theory of relativity.
Yeah, the theory of relativity. Asat Karyavad. Okay. Yeah, because if you know Brahman, all things will be known, but illusion can't be known because it doesn't exist. So how do you know it? Because it doesn't exist. So we have to see is that the material world exists, and we can explain how the illusion works. Right? So that all comes from the Lord. Therefore, by knowing the Lord, you know all this. Right? Now, if you understand the clay, you understand the pot. Yes?
Also, in the theory of cause and effect, the confusing part is that sometimes the effect becomes the cause for the next thing.
Yes.
But then the confusion is it could, there's an idea, it could become the cause of the cause itself. But it works only in one direction.
Yeah, in only one direction. Yeah.
It can't go back.
Yeah, it's just like let's say the pot. I mean, the clay is there, you can get the pot. Now let's say the pot becomes broken or old, now you can take that pot, crush it up into powder, mixing it with rice and all that, and some, the soot off a lamp, you know, and make it black, then you can make that cover on the mridanga, the gob. That's what it's made from. So, because the point is what Sat Karyavad means is the cause is already inherent in the, I mean, the effect is already inherent in the cause. So therefore, that a pot can be made into powder is already inherent in the pot before it happens. Otherwise, you couldn't make it into powder. So, yeah, you know, like cream cheese, you can't make it into powder. It's not inherent. You know, in other words, that effect is not inherent in the cause. Right? It spreads on toast.
Yeah.
The toast can have powder.
Yeah.
Right. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Akadasi.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's come up with these points.